Man, I hope that you get this. Man, we don't come play church, man. We do not come play church here. We don't come check a box. We come to encounter the one true living God and know that God can speak to us, man. God can deliver something directly into our lives this morning. That's powerful, man. That's God's desire to speak to us. It's incredible. Man, this morning we're going to continue in our series called Up Close and Personal, really based on our relationship with Him, understanding who God is and having a deeper knowledge and a deeper understanding of God and coming to know Him and understand Him on a level that He has given us everything we need to know about Him right here in the Word. And knowing that God is light, knowing that Jesus, who is God in the flesh, is the light of the world. And understand this, when you come close to light, things are exposed. When you become up close and personal with Jesus and you walk in that relationship with Jesus, there are things that you are going to begin to see in your life that just aren't right before Him. That's what happens when you come in light. That's what happens when you come close and personal with light. You understand, man, me being close to Him and being in relationship with Him is so much more important than these things that are not pleasing to Him. You begin to cut things out of your life, which is such a blessing for you. And it builds that relationship with Him. This morning, we have done this series, and we've got several more weeks on this series, and we're doing personal testimonies. For those who know what it is to be up close and personal with Jesus, I want you to hear from my friend, Sean Costello. Come on.
Hi, my name is Sean Costello, and I thought before I knew Jesus, but I didn't. When I was younger, my mom and dad put all three of us kids, my two sisters and I, through Catholic school. I went to church all the time, and I was an altar boy. I was in church probably 5-6 times a week, sometimes twice a day, serving weddings, funerals, masses. That was a good foundation for me growing up. I believe if I didn't go through that, I wouldn't be here at BC. But as you get older and you have a lot of temptation come into your life and you have a lot of persuasive people come into your life and influence you in different ways, you fall off that path. I was told the church was man-created. It wasn't. It was foolish to go, basically, that you're wasting your time and all they want is money out of you. One day, I woke up and I started reading the Bible, and I can't get enough of it. It's like, I want to read a little bit, but yet I got to go back and I can't wait to get to the next day to find out what else is going to happen and what's going to come out of that message. You know, I was just afraid, I guess, of what people were going to say about me. I was afraid to express my faith. And now, I don't care anymore. I know it's all for Him. Without the Word of God, I would not be where I'm at today. With my job, my relationship with my wife, my kids, that's what Jesus is all about. He's personal, and He forgives, and He loves, and there's joy, peace, and all that. Being baptized last Sunday was just unbelievable, because it was my choice. I'm not afraid of that anymore. I'm not afraid what people think of me. I'm not afraid to be put down or ridiculed, because I know it's all in the favor of the Lord. He worked His peace in me. He got rid of that. And that's what it's all about. I really truly believe if you are if you really, really seek Him, He'll come into your life and He'll work wonders.
Amen. Come on. Praise God. Man, He puts it on Jesus and He puts it on the Word. That's life-changing stuff, folks. You want your life changed, it's Jesus and going deep in His Word. You want your life changed. See, his dad came to me about 2 months ago or so. He said, Sean, I want you to know my son, Sean, is not the same. Things are different in his life. He's not the same husband. He's not the same dad. He's not the same man. God has done something in my son, and he's not the same. That's from his father, folks. And you see, when you understand what the truth of God's word is and how God by his Spirit is changing and rearranging lives, man, we've got to go deeper. We've got to reach out for as many people as we possibly can reach with the very truth of God's word. And that's our call, man. That's what we're supposed to do. And that's what we're doing from day one in this church, man, building strong families and strong relationships. Recognize what God says about you as a husband and wife and teenagers and young adults and singles. And know what God says about building those relationships with one another in such a way that you encourage and build and you're a part of the church. It's huge. So much so that we just continue to witness and we continue to invite people. And we continue to go after hearts and lives and show ourselves different from the world because Jesus is in us. It's amazing. And man, we're doing this series called Up Close and Personal so that when we get close to God, when we walk in that relationship, having that desire to get close to Him, knowing that when we draw near to Him, He draws near to you. That's amazing. Isn't that incredible? The God of all creation wants to be close to you. The one who created you, the one who knows everything about you. He knows how many times you take a breath. He knows how many times you blink because He knows all things. And He wants to be in a relationship with us. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's God. And man, when we understand this, we look at this, and we're going to go over two places in Scripture, please. John 13 and 1 John 3. John 13, 1 John 3. And let's ask God to bless it. Father, we thank you for our time and your word. God, I'm asking that you would speak to us. God, speak to us this morning. God, we come before you with an eyes to see. We come with you with an ear to hear. God, we come before you with a heart that is hungry and open for you. God, please show us your word today. God, speak to us this morning. God, we're here. We're hungry for truth. We need to know you on a deeper level, God. Thank you. Folks, please, I'm asking that you would take a second and that you would personally ask God to speak to you this morning. Maybe you've never done that. But God, through his word, by his Holy Spirit, can deliver something to your heart this morning that you know you've heard directly from him. I ask that you would ask God, God, speak to me. God, speak to me this morning. And I'll respond to what you say. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to go over the character. We're not going to go over so much John himself, but more the writings of John, the Apostle John. And you can go into John and kind of ask a question, well, who was this guy? Who was John? John was a fisherman. Him and James were brothers. They were a son of Salome and the sons of Zebedee. Jesus pegged them as sons of thunder. I mean, that would be pretty cool, right? Like he's handing out names and he comes across Simon. He says, you're Cleopas, which means that you are Peter. Peter's like, okay, cool, Peter, all right. And he comes to James, nah, you're sons of thunder. I mean, like, which one you want to be, right? He's like, that's right, man, I'm sons of thunder, dude. You're just Peter. That's great. Come on. And, you know, you see something within Peter, James, and John. And you see the relationship they had with Jesus, who was God in the flesh, who walked the earth and did amazing signs and wonders, who put himself on a cross for us. And you see, when you begin to go deep with who John was, you can kind of put some puzzle pieces together from Matthew and John and try to possibly, it's highly likely that Salome was Mary's sister, therefore making Jesus and John cousins. And then you begin to see where John was one, Peter, James, and John out of the 12 were the top three, where Jesus had his own little circle. You see this where Jairus' daughter dies and Jesus says, Peter, James, and John, I need you to come with me. Where the daughter was dead and people began to laugh at Jesus going, what are you talking? She's dead. And Jesus goes in and raises her from the death. You know who he wanted by his side? Peter, James, and John. Jesus is called up to the Mount of Transfiguration where on this mount, he goes before God himself and there is Moses and there's Elijah and a light shines. And then Bible says that Jesus was transfigured and his face shone like the sun and his clothes became white. And then there was this cloud that showed brilliantly. And then there was a voice of God, his father, came out of the cloud and said, this is my son whom I am well pleased. Do as he says. And there's Peter, James, and John invited up to see this. And then you have Jesus in his most desperate moment. Then you have Jesus in a moment where he is at his absolute wit's end and 100% being man, where he is in agony. The Bible says that he dripped, his sweat was like drops of blood, and he was in a place of almost death emotionally and come to a place that he was in complete agony. And you know who he wanted by his side? Peter, James, and John. And then you see an amazing clear picture of John. You see it in John 13, you see it in John 19, you see it in John 20, you see it in John 21. Where he is described as the disciple whom Jesus loved. I mean, Jesus loves all. But there's something particular that was picked out about John. That Jesus said, this is the disciple who I love. There's a point where we see, even in John 13, where he's just going over that one of you will betray me. And here we see that they're leaning back at the dinner table. And they're done eating. And you see a picture that was their custom at times for those who were so close. That John was leaning back on the chest of Jesus. I mean, could you imagine leaning back on the chest of God, on the chest of the creator of the universe? And literally one ear pressed against his chest where he could hear the heartbeat of Jesus. Listen, if you're going to lay on my chest as man, that's their custom, not ours, okay? So it would be bad for both of us if you did that. So don't come lay on my chest and think that's okay. You don't need to hear my heartbeat, man. I'm good, seriously. I'm all right. Please don't take up their custom and lay on my chest. That would be a bad day for both of us. And there you go. Amen. But it shows how close they were, folks. Reveals that he was so close to Jesus. And when you go through the book of John, you see where John is constantly going over the signs and wonders of Jesus. John is constantly going over this word called belief. Believe in Jesus. Through his signs, he was showing himself to be God. And at the end of John, you see one of the very last verses. Listen, if I was to write down all that Jesus did, we wouldn't have enough books to contain him. This is John's writing. He understood and he knew Jesus. He was the one who was at the cross. All the other disciples fled. Where was Jesus? He was on the cross. Where was John, the disciple whom Jesus loved? Boom, right at the feet of Jesus. Whom at that point, Jesus puts Mary, his mother, right into John's care. It's incredible. I want you to know one of the themes that John screams in his writings through John and 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, where he says you're to love one another. Folks, if we're going to walk up close and personal with Jesus and we're going to walk in this relationship with him and we want to know him deeper and we want to walk in this relationship with him, you know what? One of the things, the one who walked closest to Jesus, you know what he picked up from Jesus? One of his main themes of writing was that you and I are to walk in a place to love one another. Could you imagine what would happen in this church? Man, we are on target, folks. I'm telling you what, we are so on target for what God's called us to do in this region. But even if we took it to another level of what it is to really love one another, if we got this message this morning, if we understood this at home, we understood this at school, we understood this at the workplace, we understood this between brothers and brothers and sisters, if we understood this between husband and wife, of what God called us to do to love one another, folks, we wouldn't have enough room. I mean, we're kind of running out of room now, but we would have to do another building quickly. It is my desire that we're known as a church who understands what it is to love one another. You're going to see this morning that that's God's heart, that we be known and identified as ones who love one another. Come on, John 13, please. I want you to see this. John 13, verse 34. And this is Jesus speaking to his disciples, man. And there's John right there. He's leaning on his chest, hearing the heartbeat of Jesus, feeling the heartbeat of Jesus. And then hearing Jesus say this, John 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give to you. This is Jesus. That you love one another even as I have loved you. That you also love one another. Could you imagine that? Here are the disciples, John who Jesus loved, and the one who has seen and has marked and has written all the works of God through his son Jesus. And Jesus says, this is a commandment that I'm giving you, that you are. This is a commandment. You must love one another. How we do that? Just as I have loved you. How has Christ loved you? Unconditionally. Jesus has never put a condition on his love for you. Undeniably, it was demonstrated that yet while we were still sinners, Christ died for you. A demonstrated love cannot be denied. And it is eternal and it is forever and it cannot fail. When you see 1 Corinthians 13 as a love chapter, the very last verse, 13:13, faith, hope, love. I mean, those are the three top dogs right here. Faith, hope, love. The greatest of these is love. Now look at this. Verse 35. By this, by your love for one another, by this all men will know. All men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Please hear this. This is Jesus speaking. In a very critical time, this is kind of the end of the road for him. He's headed to the cross. And he gives this commandment to his disciples. This is what will identify you to me. This is how they will know. By this, all men will know. This is what identifies you as a follower of me. This is how men will identify you to be my disciple. Well, what is that? How are we identified to be the followers and disciples of Jesus? All men will know by this, what? Your love for one another. If you have a love for one another, that identifies you as a follower of Jesus. That's how huge this is. Folks, I want to show you a couple pictures. When we as believers should be identified quickly as followers of Jesus by the love that we have for one another. Look at this. I'll show you this picture immediately. Immediately you pick it up. You know, instantly. You don't have to think about it. You got a second guess. That's a policeman. Second picture. Instantly. You don't have to think about it. That's a fireman. You know it by absolute certainty by identifying it. This picture, you see, as a doctor. You know that. Now, this last picture, you identify quickly as country music. You've got your dirty truck. He got mad about his dirty truck, so he got drunk and he cried about it, and then he wrote a song. I mean, that's right there. That's country music, quickly identified. You know this. I'm not kidding, folks. That's funny stuff right there. Come on. 1 John 3, please. Folks, when we talk about the seriousness of what it is, of how serious Jesus put it is to love one another and to recognize we who have confessed Christ as Lord, we who understand what it is to walk in faith and truth, if you're not identified by love, Jesus says you better recheck some things, because that's what identifies us as disciples. I'll show it to you again. This is John's writing again, the one who was up close and personal, Jesus, the disciple whom Jesus loved, the one who was top three in Jesus' circle. He writes this in 1 John 3, verse 14. We know, this is confidence, folks, we know that we have passed out of death into life. Why? How do we know that? How are we certain that we passed out of death? Old life, new life. That which was because of sin and damnation, now life, new life in Christ Jesus because of the cross and the blood. Now look at this. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. It's based on our love. Look at this. He who does not love abides in death. Verse 16, again, highlight this. We know love by this. How do we know love? What identifies us with love? We know love by this, that he, that's Jesus, laid down his life for us, that we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That means sacrifice. How do you know you have such a love for one another? Because you are doing what Jesus did and you are sacrificing for your brother out of a love. Love is what motivates. Verse 18, little children, do not love with the word or in tongue, but in deed and the truth. We will know this, that's talking about love. We will know this, that we are of the truth and will assure our heart before him. Folks, does love identify you as a believer? Does your love for one another identify you as one who is a disciple of Jesus Christ? Come on, 1 John 4, look at verse 15. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, please hear, this is huge, man. It's going to challenge you. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. That's, you got to wrap your mind around this, folks. You got to check this out. When you confess that Christ is Lord, have you come to that place to know that Jesus is Lord? It is not church. It is not religion. It is not because you come to Believer's Chapel. It is because Jesus is Lord. You've come to that place somewhere along the journey of life. You've come to recognize that there is sin in my life. And because of sin in my life, I am separate from God. But God has such a love for me that I know that he sent Jesus. I believe this. Jesus came, put himself on a cross, and I know that he paid the price for that sin that is in my life. And I know that without Jesus, I am damned forever in a place called hell to be eternally separate from God. And I'm talking to you that you understand this as the church, as one who says, yes, that's me. I have confessed Jesus as Lord. I know that Christ died for me. When somebody asks you your faith, the first answer is Jesus. Jesus is my faith. I was lost in my sin. Jesus came, paid the price for my sin, and I am forever with him for an eternity. That's Jesus. Then this is talking to you. And if you don't know Christ as Lord, and you've banked on church attendance, or you've banked on growing up in the church, you've banked on whatever, some lies that the enemy has told you that there's many ways to God, please know this, man, it is Jesus only. And it's on you to come to a place, man, the work has been done for you. It's all been done for you. Jesus came, he lived, he died, paid the price for you. God's wrath was put on him, so it doesn't have to be on us. He was buried and he was resurrected and gave us incredible victory over death. And it's on you to come to a place to realize that and believe that. It's up to you to come to a place, even this morning, right here and right now, to say, man, I understand that I am lost. And I understand that there is sin in my life. I've never made it right with God. Making it right with God means that you understand Jesus paid for that sin. Therefore, you will never have to worry about condemnation. You'll never have to worry about hell. You'll never have to worry about sin and shame because Jesus paid the price for you and you have an understanding of that. The Bible says when you confess that he is Lord and you believe in your heart that he's been raised from the dead, you shall be saved. When you call on the name of Jesus, you shall be saved. Folks, it's Jesus. Do you know Jesus this morning? Do you know that you have eternal life with Christ based on what he's done for you and not based on what you've done for him? You can make that right this morning by just simply saying, Jesus, forgive me my sins. God, forgive me. I know that I'm lost without you, and I know that you're the only saving agent. You came on the greatest rescue mission of all time to rescue me from my sin because you have such a love for me. Jesus, you're my answer. Jesus, you're my everything, and you are my Lord. And I commit my life to you. Then this applies to you. Look at this. Verse 15. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, try to wrap your mind around God abides in him. God of all creation, God of all power, God of all authority, God who always has been, God who always will be, God who knows all things, God who is everywhere all at once, comes to a place that when you confess him as Lord, God takes up residence. This word abide, it means to take up residence or to dwell within. By his Holy Spirit, God resides in those who've confessed Christ as Lord. Now look at this. Man, this is huge. You got to see this, man. Come on, wrap your heart around this. And he in God, verse 16, we have come to know, again, we have come to know. There's a confidence in this. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God does what he does because he's motivated by love. For God loved the world, he gave. You got to understand this. The motivating factor of God is for his glory, that he'd be glorified, and is motivated by love. Why is that? Look at this, verse 16. We have come to know and believe the love which God has for us. Why? Because God is love. What is God?
Love.
What is God?
Love.
Don't, come on, see this. And the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. And I'm going to lay this down for you, because I'm going to remove your excuse. I'm going to remove your excuse. So it's just not in me to love anymore. If you have confessed Christ as Lord, please hear this. Don't miss this, man. I'm going to remove your excuse. Well, I just don't love him anymore. Well, I fell out of love. That is so lame. Please don't bring that to my table, because I'm going to remove that right now. Because you're telling me you know Christ Jesus is Lord, then I'm telling you the Bible says that God abides. He dwells within you. And then I'm telling you that God is love. And in that, you know where love abides? You know where love is? In you. I just don't have it in me anymore to love. Well, that's not what the Bible says. Look at this. Please get this. Folks, remember, man, if we're coming up close and personal, that means change. That means there's times that we need to change. And I don't know where you're at this morning, but I know that this is true. I know that God gives us his truth for our good. That's what I know. If you're in this place and you've had issues with loving one another, even as a husband and a wife, you're not just in this place because you've been burnt, hurt, or you become bitter and anger over somebody. I'm telling you this morning that the one who is up close and personal with Jesus himself, the one who laid and felt his heartbeat, his number one theme is to love one another. And he got that because he followed Jesus. He got that because he heard from Jesus over and over and over. He got that because he saw how Jesus loved. And he writes this for us, that if you know Christ as Lord, then God has taken up residence and he lives and dwells within you. And in that, in the same way, he says, God is love. And love has taken residence within you. Therefore, love is always in you. And we have just crushed the excuse where love just isn't in me. It's just not in me anymore. That's not what the Bible says. Now look at this. This is incredible. For God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Verse 17. By this love is perfected with us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Why? Get this. Because he is. He is what? He is love. So also are we. Because God is love and God abides and he dwells within us, the Bible says he is love, so also are we. And then it says this amazing word. It says, in the world. Folks, how are you in your workplace? How are you in the neighborhood? How are you on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? We got church Saturday and Sunday. Are you known by your love? Are you at the water cooler gossiping like everybody else? Are you cheating on your time like everybody else? Or does the office know you as someone who's different? Because just as Jesus was in the world, just as Jesus came for the sinners and spent time with the sinners, he didn't spend time with the sinners to party with the sinners. He spent time with the sinners to win the sinners. That's why he spent time with them, to win them to him. What's your purpose, folks? This is so huge, because we come to this place to realize God abides in me, love abides in me, and just as he is, which is love, I am to be, and I am to be love to the world. In my workplace, I'm to show to love. In my home, I'm to show love. In my neighborhood, I'm to show love. When I'm a young adult in college, I'm to show love. Because that identifies me as a disciple of Christ. Is that you? Are you identified by your love for one another? Because that identifies you as a follower of Jesus. Come on, Colossians 3 says this. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Beyond all these things. Well, what are these things? Here again, we see faith, hope, love. The grace of these is love. Here we see again in Colossians. Now, this is Paul writing to the church of Colossae. This is a local church. We are a local church here in Olean, Allegheny, Southern Tier, this region. We are a local church here. Now, please get this. Faith, hope, love, the grace of these is love. And now he puts love on another plateau. Beyond all these things, put on love. Beyond what? Now get this list. I want to just read this to you. This is verse 12. It says, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Those are yes, man. Those are great. We are to have compassion. We're to be kind. We're to be humble. We're to be gentle. We're to be patient. Then it says, bearing one another, forgiving one another as Christ has forgiven you. And then he says this. This is amazing. Get this. Beyond all these things. All those are yes. All those are great. But he says, more important than that, put on love. Unconditional, undeniable, undefeatable love. Because it is the perfect bond of unity. Love identifies, folks, and number two, love unifies. Could you imagine what we're doing as a body, man? What we're doing as a whole in this place is beyond anything. Ray and I had dinner with Pastor Wes Arum from one who comes up here is at the chapel at Crosspoint. He's coming again in September, him and his wife and whole family. And again, he reminded us at dinner, do you realize that this is so rare what's taking place at Believer's Chapel? You realize for a church plant, that never happens. It doesn't happen that way. And I say, you know what? We've got it from the beginning that we're going to love one another and we're going to celebrate people. And we're going to be unified. And God blesses unity. God blesses a body that has come together where all parts work together as one. Like a bicycle, man. This is my best picture of unity. You see somebody riding a bicycle, and that bicycle works in unison, man. The pedals are moving, the chain is moving, the tires are moving. All parts work together as one. That's this church, man. We are unified. It is amazing to see how God is blessing and anointing this church that we dare not take it for granted. To see it from year to year, to week, to month, what is taking place here. It's just, and again, last week, that picnic, I was so humbled to see so many people getting to work. Man, I want you to see this. Ephesians 4, please. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him. Folks, listen, again, this is Paul writing to a local church in Ephesus. Again, local church emphasis right here. That we are to grow up in all things into Him. We are to be forever maturing. God, please hear this. I want to be a better pastor, a better speaker, a better communicator, a better leader next week than I am this week. I want to be a better husband, a better father next week. I want to be growing up constantly because I'm learning from Him. My foundation is this. I constantly dig in deeper. God, show me what I need to see. God, I need more wisdom. God, I need to know decision makings at home and in my church and in the people of this church. God, over and over. Folks, please hear this. If you were in the same spiritual condition you were 6 months ago,